This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 a.m. on Tuesday, the 14th of June. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Wong Xiaoning. Let's recap how global markets closed overnight.
Let's not. Because it was a terrible, terrible, terrible day in markets. The Dow was down 2.8%, the S&P 500 down 3.9%, and the Nasdaq down a whopping, I repeat, a whopping 4.7%. Meanwhile, in Asia, just marginally better because the Nikkei was down 3%, Hang Seng was down 3.4%, Shanghai was down 0.9%, Straits Times Index in Singapore down 1.3%, and our very own FBM KLCI was down 2%.
If I look at the board in front of me, everything is down, even on a year-to-date basis. Only Singapore is holding on to some gains, but that's really marginal. It's less than 1% as I see. So yes, global markets really taking a hit from what's happening. For some analysis on where they're heading, we have on the line with us Song Seng-Woon, Senior Economist at CIMB Private Banking. Seng-Woon, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, it seems that last week's U.S. inflation figures have stoked fears that the Fed will be super aggressive in raising rates in the coming months. We know that the FOMC is meeting today. What are your expectations for this meeting? Will they stay in the 50 bips range?
Well, certainly expectation has risen for 75, but I think there will probably be enough members who will stick with that 50 basis point for now. I think bearing in mind that if they were to be more aggressive, and which is why I think there were some expectation being priced in, that we could see the U.S. economy tip into an earlier recession if they were to be too aggressive. So it remains to be seen. I mean, it is on their own fault. They were really late in not normalizing a year ago. Now, with inflation and inflation expectations being significantly higher today, and especially as we head into the summer period for the U.S. Side, driving season coming up, U.S. gasoline prices are record high. So it's very interesting to see whether they all stay at home and watch Netflix or whether they continue to just take on the higher prices and continue driving, as they say. So it will be fun to see to what extent opening move, savings, and just revenge traveling and spending will take them further for now and avoid that recession. But certainly the risk, as oil prices and commodity prices and just cost of living creep higher, will have an important bearing on economic activities in the U.S. and like everywhere else, actually.
Seng-Woon, you mentioned the deadly R word, which is recession, right? So what is your best bet or guess in terms of when, is the U.S. heading for a recession? And if it is, when?
Well, I suppose, again, I look at the indicators on an almost daily basis on what Americans themselves are doing. Certainly, it's easy to say, I feel very depressed. But if you feel very depressed and go out to splurge on spending and keep driving, it's not going to cause a recession. In fact, it will lift spending. But if you say, I'm depressed and I'm upset by high inflation and stay at home and do nothing, then cumulatively, if more people do that, then yes, there will be a trigger for recession. Certainly for now, yes, it's impacted confidence significantly, but it has only just marginally impacted spending. So not for now. Certainly the odds of a recession on a one-year basis has certainly risen, but probably for the next 3 to 6 months, that risk is small. But if we move into next year, if prices stay high, then we may see pullback in economic activities. But I think less so for our recession risk this year, but more so as we head into next year.
All right. So all eyes on 2023 in terms of when that recession will rear its ugly head. I want to take a look at how inflationary pressures are affecting equity markets, Seng-Woon, because we have seen equity markets, there's a widespread sell-off going on. We can just see the numbers overnight. When it comes to stock markets in the Asia-Pacific region, which are more likely to hold their ground better than others?
Well, the lag, you pointed out earlier in the bulletin that Singapore is still held on to marginal gain, but that's because Singapore has been one of the laggards in the prior 2 years. And with reopening move, certainly the expectation is that Singapore will do better. So I think it will still be doing better purely just because reopening move. You know, I can easily walk outside without mask, intermingle. By kiasu apel, I swear my mask everywhere.
Good for you, single.
So, yeah. And I've not caught COVID yet. So that's also a plus. But otherwise, economic activity, some degree of normality is returning with more events taking place as more people get on with daily life. And that's helping. But obviously, if the rest of the world were to see significant slowdown, and Singapore is a key trading hub for goods and services, then it will be impacted as well. But certainly those economies here, we have seen more activities because of the easing in restriction, whether it's Singapore, Thailand, or even Malaysia as well. I was up and around on Eastern and West Peninsula Malaysia the last month or so, key cities. And certainly, you know, there are more things happening on the ground, but obviously the conversation continues to center around the cost of living and inflation costs. So if that can still be taken in stride by the rakyat, so to say, then we're okay. But if we start to pull back because cost of living start to impact, we have to stretch our ringgit, then yes, it will be more challenging. But certainly for now, economies and markets in Asia, which have seen reopening move, has benefited. But it might not be for long if the worries and inflation fear continue to intensify.
Okay. But one market that hasn't really opened up at all or has opened and then subsequently closed, of course, is China. They're still maintaining this very stringent zero COVID policy. How do you think this is going to impact the wider economies in Southeast Asia, especially the very dependent ones on China, like Singapore and even Malaysia to some extent?
It has. I mean, certainly we are now into the third year of the pandemic, so it has been affected by supply disruption, supply rules, and companies continue to have to plan ahead. We're better in planning now compared to, say, at the start of a pandemic. So at least we factor in a degree of delay, either for, you know, like what we are seeing now, new restrictions being imposed, but just consistent delays, whether at the factory level, access to labor, whether it's a logistics side, or just higher costs of transportation and shipping, for instance. So we're coping with that. The more important thing is whether the demand side holds, because we can still order and we can still spend if we think we are confident enough that we still have job, we still have savings, and we still have a job to go to tomorrow to continue to spend. But if that expectation changed, then whether got or not got supply chain disruption, it doesn't matter. But for now, we are able to cope with it. It's just basically about planning ahead. You may get your barang-barang 6 months later, but at least you got them because you know it's coming anyway.
So, Sengwen, where would you hide at this moment? Because the only asset class which I've seen actually appreciating is the US dollar. Do you see the US dollar still gaining strength? And then I guess that's very much dependent on what, or in anticipation of what the Fed is going to do then.
My bet is that we are probably near to the peak of prices already. Still a bit more to go, perhaps, if we were to see gasoline prices. But at some point down the road, it will take some of the pressure, inflation that is, because consumption starts to slow. We have seen some signs of slowdown already, but not enough to turn economic slowdown into stagflation or recession just yet. Transportation costs, yes, still rising. Freight costs, I think, still holding up there, but we are seeing turning in broader commodity prices. Say, palm oil prices have already turned. So that's helpful. So it's a question of whether it taper off gradually or it starts to drop off very quickly. So we may be near the peak of an inflation cycle, but we may not see it come off too quickly, which is the key in terms of how things pan out on the equity market side. So I would say near to the peak as far as inflation coming off, but how quickly, we will just have to watch the data. Very little places to hide at this juncture because, as we've seen from the scoreboard last night, everything kena solo, whether it is in the speculative side or still the fixed income side. But if we look at things in general and still stick with the fundamentals, which I think Asia has better in terms of earnings and earnings potential and earnings recovery, then I'll pick and keep our focus on Asia, whether it is beaten down Chinese stocks or even in Malaysia, where fundamentally strong companies can still deliver on the earnings once the valuation side becomes attractive enough.
Seng-Woon, thank you as always for speaking to us. That was Song Seng-Woon, senior economist at CIMB Private Banking, giving us his take on some of the trends affecting global markets, saying that he'd put his money here in Asia rather than elsewhere at this stage. We're looking at some global headlines, global corporate headlines that have caught our eye. Maybe this is some good news for Tuesday morning. Oracle, their shares rose almost 9% in extended trading earlier today after the database software company issued its fourth quarter results that exceeded analyst expectations.
Yeah, so here is the case where the have and have nots in the technology sector are really beginning to show themselves. So a software company like Oracle doing extremely well. Their unit increased sales by 36%, lifted very much by cloud revenue. This is clearly what everybody wants, right? Whether it's Amazon, whether it's Microsoft, everybody is heading into the cloud. So this results mark the eighth straight quarter of year-on-year revenue increases for Oracle, so clearly doing extremely well.
That's right. And this is going to be important to watch because investors are going to want to see which companies can generate profitability and cash during a downturn. Cloud, it seems to be where it's at.
Yeah, but I don't understand this because there's only 8 buys, 17 holds, and 3 sells for Oracle. Although the consensus target price for this stock is $88. Currently, the stock price closed actually down $3 to $64.
Emblematic of just the uncertainty of where everything is headed right now. 7:17 in the morning, we're heading into some messages, and when we come back, we'll help you untangle. No, we'll shine a light on issues concerning government procurement. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.